Good afternoon, everybody. I thank you all for putting up with the close quarters here, but this is only place that we had. And I'm sorry, I have a cough drop in my mouth. Anyway, I'm excited about this program this afternoon because I believe that it's something very important for you to know. Now, as you know, we are struggling with the high cost of education, trying to keep those costs down for you. The debt is ever increasing every year. Tuition goes up, living costs go up. So we have a responsibility to let you know of options that you have in debt management. Whether or not you have thought about what you want to do, you might have already know what you want to do once you graduate. But this is time when you need to start exploring options and what might be available for you to help you with any debt that you might have. Of course, today, as you know, we have invited West Virginia State representatives for our national and state programs, and you'll find that these programs are very similar to other state repayment and loan forgiveness programs. So what I want to do first, before we start, I'd like to ask everyone to refrain from the use of cell phones and laptops during our program. Also, please take a couple of minutes at the end of the program to complete the evaluation that is attached to your program sheet, which lists all of our today's guests. And if you've not signed in, you need to do so before you leave. We'll leave the sign-in sheet so you can be counted for attendance. And also, if you have any plates and cups and those kinds of things, if you could kindly put those in the trash whenever you leave. So, first of all, I'm going to introduce our guests. And forgive me, so I'll know what your titles are. We have Martha Endres. She's Program Coordinator for the National Health Service Corps Ambassador. She is a National Health Service Corps Ambassador with the Division of Rural Health and Recruitment. She'll be speaking to us on the National Health Service Corps program. And then we have Karen Polly. Karen is Loan and Grant Program Coordinator for the Office of Community Health Services and Health Promotion. Then we have Laura Boone. She's Director of Health Sciences Programs for the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission. And then we have Ann Stevens. She's Operations Coordinator for the Family Medicine Foundation of West Virginia. So I want to also introduce a group of staff members with our Robert C. Byrd Center for Rural Health. They helped sponsor your lunch today, and we are very appreciative. Jennifer Plymel, she's Director of the Robert C. Byrd Center for Rural Health. Amber Vance, Christy Adkins, Debbie Curry, and we are expecting Alicia Tyler here shortly. So we got a lot of information to cover for the rest of the hour. So we will be having some handouts if you are interested afterwards that you can walk by and grab when you go out the door if you're interested. So without further ado, we will get started with Martha Endres.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here. We're here to talk with you today about jobs and dollars. You're going through four very challenging years of medical school, and you're probably accruing very significant debt, and you plan to work as a physician. But let's talk about how you're going to pay for it, either during medical school or once you're out practicing. In order to understand our loan repayment and scholarship programs, though, you need to be aware of the federal shortage designations. These programs generally depend on whether you work at a site with either a land-based or site-based shortage designation. The most common shortage designations are health professional shortage areas, and those can be either primary care HPSAs, as we call them, mental health HPSAs, or dental HPSAs. Could I see your hand if you think you're going to go into primary care medicine? Okay. How about those who are thinking about psychiatry? Okay, good. This will be especially relevant to you folks who think you may go into primary care or psychiatry. Now, the health professional shortage areas are based on the ratio of population to the full-time equivalent number of physicians of that category. Just as soon as you learn what this definition is, though, everything will change later this year. There is new methodology coming. But essentially, you need to be aware that there are land-based areas and sites in West Virginia which have either primary care HPSAs or mental health HPSAs. And in order to qualify to apply for these loan repayment programs, you need to strategize and choose your rotations or your employment once you're licensed to practice at a site that is designated in order to be eligible to apply for one of these programs. There's also the medically underserved area designation, which is a little bit different. And if you'll come down after the program, I'll be happy to show you the maps and the lists. Just remember that the designations change from time to time. The most money out there is available through the National Health Service Corps. As you might guess, it's a federal program, and they offer both a scholarship program and a loan repayment program. You actually are eligible right now to apply for the scholarship program. You can get it for up to 4 years of medical school. For each year that you're a National Health Service Corps scholar, you have an obligation to practice 1 year at a National Health Service Corps approved site with a dire HPSA score. However, if you just get funded as a scholar for 1 year, you do have a 2-year service obligation, minimum 2-year service obligation. The challenge with a National Health Service Corps scholar is that when you go to place, you will be required to place at a site with a very high dire HPSA score, and it might be that you won't be able to go where you want to go. If you want to stay in West Virginia, your choices will probably be limited to the federal prisons. Those are the ones with the highest HPSA scores. Now, if you do want to apply to be a National Health Service Corps scholar, the benefits are great. It waives your tuition. National Health Service Corps pays your tuition, and they pay a living stipend per month of $1,200 or $1,300 while you're a scholar. And then once you graduate from medical school and complete your residency, then you go place and serve your scholar obligation. You avoid accruing a mountain of debt that way. However, if you come out of medical school with that mountain of debt, please consider the loan repayment program through the National Health Service Corps. The first funding offers as much as $60,000. That's $60,000 tax-free. There's no limit to the number of times you can get funded as a National Health Service Corps loan repayer, nor to the total amount of money you can get funded. We've got physicians in West Virginia who have paid off more than $200,000 in medical education debt through the National Health Service Corps loan repayment program. Again, you have to work at an approved site, and that's typically the federally qualified health centers. And you're probably familiar with some of those. Valley Health is a big one. Access Health in Raleigh County. Family Care in Kanawha County. Cabin Creek. New River. Those are all National Health Service Corps sites for loan repayment. It is a very competitive program. And just because you and your site meet eligibility criteria is never a guarantee that your application will be awarded loan repayment. But if you can get in through National Health Service Corps loan repayment, it is a way to completely pay off all your medical education debt over a period of years through sequential fundings. Now, remember that the purpose of this National Health Service Corps loan repayment program is not to pay off your loans. The purpose is to improve access to care for underserved populations. So National Health Service Corps does this by giving you money for loan repayment, and you work in a shortage area at an approved site. Your loan repayment money is in addition to whatever salary and benefit package you negotiate. The site is not allowed to pay you less than the going rate just because you're a National Health Service Corps participant. if I were in your situation and if I expected to have significant medical education debt, I would strategize for that fourth year of medical school when you're doing rotations, and then for your residency placement. I would look at placing at some of the sites that would be eligible for National Health Service Core Loan repayment. You'll make just as much as you would typically at some other site, and if you can get $200,000 in debt paid off, just think how many years it would take you on your own to pay off that much debt without the help of National Health Service Corps. We'll have some time after we each speak for questions, and I'm looking forward to answering your questions. So please let me know what your questions are.
And to continue on after National Health Service Corps, you can, the next one in line would be the state loan repayment, which is what the Division of Rural Health and Recruitment does. What that is, we get money from the feds. The state matches that money, and we pay it to your employer for you to work there. There again, your contract, you negotiate your contract without the loan repayment or anything. It's very tight. We only have a total of $300,000 a year to give to all the applicants. The last couple years has been really hard for us to even give our money away. The National Health Service Corps got a bunch of stimulus dollars, took all our people. Well, now that that's gone away, they're coming back, and we have already denied $200,000, I think, in requests this year because we're out of money already. It comes in September. It's exactly like National Health Service Corps, with the exception that with National Health Service Corps, you have to have the high HIPAA designation code. With ours, we take into consideration where you're going to work because we know that certain areas, even though the designation's low, the need is high. So, you know, there's a lot of things. Our application asks specific questions as to why you would be a good candidate. I always tell everybody, don't put on there you're going home to go to work, because everybody wants to go home to go to work. That's their ideal, to be able to graduate, get all their training, go home and treat people at home. Well, everybody wants to do that, so don't put that on there. We have a second program that is very similar, but all you need is the medically underserved area designation, which opens up 99% of the state. Other than Charleston, Wheeling, Huntington, Martinsburg, and Morgantown, if you go to work for even a private physician, if they want to match the program, you're eligible for this. You know, your major cities are not medically underserved generally. The matching program, we do up to $10,000. The employer will match whatever is awarded. Generally, we award what the employer wants to match. It's for a one-year obligation. And we can do it for 4 years. So that's $80,000 worth of loans you're eligible for. So I'll let Laura go.
The program that I'm going to be talking to you about is the Health Sciences Scholarship. And if you're interested, this is the brochure you need to pick up on the way out the door. It's bright green, so you can't miss it. And inside the brochure, there's a website where you can find all the documents for the program, so you can check it out later online if you want to read more about it. But in a nutshell, this program is a little bit different than the first two programs that you've heard about. This is a recruitment incentive program. It's not a loan repayment program. It's not a scholarship program. If you were to be selected, you would receive a $20,000 cash award in your fourth year of medical school in return for pledging to serve 2 years in an underserved area of the state practicing primary care after you finish your residency. So that's sort of how the program works at 500 feet. I thought the easiest way to kind of explain this to you is to walk through all the steps of how you would go about applying. The first touch point would be in the fall of your fourth year. You would complete an application. A review committee would take a look at your application, and you would be notified in December of your fourth year whether you had received this award. The award amount, again, is $20,000. Before you would receive payment, however, you do have to match with an in-state primary care residency program. So that's something to keep in mind. It has to be in West Virginia. And we define primary care residency as family medicine, general pediatrics, internal medicine pediatrics, psychiatry, and OBGYN. Okay? So if you're thinking about doing a residency in any of those programs, that would work well for this health sciences scholarship. After you match and you sign a contract with us, you receive the $20,000. At that point, it's up to you what you want to do with that money. You can certainly use it to repay some of your loans. You can hang on to it. You can use it for relocation to your residency site. Absolutely, whatever you want to do. And you do receive the award in the spring of your fourth year, so there are no implications on your financial aid. Then we fast forward through residency, and then upon completing residency, now it's time for you to go out and find a job. We don't require at the time of application or at any point of residency that you know where you're going to work. We wait till after you complete residency, and then you go out and find a job. Martha and Karen both talked about health profession shortage areas, medically underserved areas. The Health Sciences Scholarship Program is a little bit more flexible in terms of the number of sites and places across West Virginia that you can work. The key for our program is that you need to be practicing primary care full time. Frequent sites where we have people working are at community health centers, in private primary care practices. Sometimes we have people at free clinics, school-based health centers. Those are some of the frequent flyers for us. Common ones that we get asked about that are not going to work for your service obligation, emergency rooms, urgent care, joining one of Marshall University's family practice groups. Those types of sites are not going to work. Once you have found a job, our office needs to approve the site, and then you serve your two-year obligation. After your 2 years, you're free to go on, and hopefully we hope, you know, we've sold you on serving an underserved community in West Virginia, and you'll stay. One thing that we haven't mentioned yet, and we probably can get into a little bit later, is that this program is funded completely by state dollars, and so we get into some situations where you can't concurrently serve in the National Health Service Corps at the same time that you're serving your obligation to the Higher Education Policy Commission for the Health Sciences Scholarship Program. So there are some considerations with all of these programs and how they work together, but I think maybe we'll address that in a little bit more detail later on.
I'm with the Family Medicine Foundation of West Virginia. We basically, our goal is to promote family medicine in West Virginia. So if you're interested in practicing in family medicine, we have two scholarships you might be interested in. They're the ESP and Tolle scholarships. They're both for $5,000 a year. You receive that in installments of $2,500 each semester. To be eligible for the ESP scholarship, you do need to be entering your second, third, or fourth year in medical school. You're also going to have to make a pledge to practice in family medicine in West Virginia for 2 years. If you receive the scholarship as a fourth-year medical student, you only need to practice for 1 year to fulfill your obligation to the scholarship. The Tolle scholarship is very similar, except for that it's only open to third and fourth-year medical students. You'll also need to practice in family medicine in West Virginia for 1 year after you complete your residency. We do check in periodically with all of our recipients to make sure they're meeting these requirements. Financial needs also a criteria you're going to meet to need to qualify for one of these scholarships. There's no strict way we determine financial need. I haven't really met a student who's not in some sort of financial need. We basically, we allow you to use the money you receive from us either towards your loans or to buy food, pay rent, whatever you need it for. And since it's $5,000 a year, it's not quite as much as what you're going to be receiving from state and federal programs, but you can get the ESP or TALI scholarship concurrent with other scholarships. That doesn't make you ineligible to get one of our scholarships. I know you can have one of our scholarships concurrently with the state program. The same as Laura said, with a federal program like the NHSC loan repayment, you do have to fulfill your obligation to us first before you're eligible for that, meaning you're going to have to practice for the 1 or 2 years in family medicine in West Virginia after your residency. We have packets that have all the information you could possibly need about both our scholarships, everything you'll need to apply. It's very simply laid out for you in those. The only other subject I want to touch on is if you do default on our scholarship, meaning you drop out of med school, you go into a subspecialty of medicine, or you move out of state, you do have to repay the money you've received from us, and that's at 6% simple interest, meaning you're just paying that interest on the money you received. You're not paying interest on interest. That's it. Ours is very simple.
Okay. We got another comment.
Okay, I was going to get into the obligation period things. If you get National Health Service Corps, that's the only thing you can get. If you get the TALI, the Health Science Scholarship, the RRCP, those three can be the same time period. So you get your TALI while you're in school, you get your $20,000 your fourth year through HISSEP, you go to work at wherever, I'm going to use Cabin Creek, and Cabin Creek says, okay, we'll match. You can serve the 1 or 2 years that you're obligated at the same time. You don't have to worry. If you go for the scholar, the National Health Service Corps scholar, after you go to work, you go and do National Health Service Corps loan repayment, they have to be the only obligation that you have. We've run into instances in the last several months. People have gotten the Health Science Scholarship, applied for and received National Health Service Corps. It's our obligation as a state recipient of state loan repayment that we have to report that. We give the physicians a chance. They called them. They didn't put them in default, which they could have. They had to pay back $60,000 that National Health Service Corps had given them until their obligation with HISSEP was over with. That $60,000, because they didn't have it to write a check, they had to go to the bank and borrow it, is not considered a student loan. It cannot be repaid by any of the other obligations. The state loan repayment cannot have any other obligations. So you can't apply for National Health Service Corps and get it, apply for state loan and get it. They have to be completely separate with no other obligations. Clear as mud, right? I can tell. I can tell by your face. Martha and I with the state, or Laura with health higher education, and any questions you have, we'll be happy to answer them at any time. If you don't want to speak up today, shoot us an email, give us a call, if you have any other questions. So now, I'll turn it back over.
Yeah. I just wanted to point out, as you can tell and hear, that these programs all have restrictions, and you have to be very careful when you're looking at any repayment loan forgiveness program on what those restrictions are. The National Health Service Corps, as Laura just mentioned, be real careful in that you're not thinking you're going to get all the other funds from the other programs should you apply. And if you are interested, I know we don't have all West Virginians here. We have those from other states in the country, that there are other loan repayment programs available for you, the aamc.org/first, and I've got the website on your program there at the bottom, have several different loan repayment and forgiveness programs from different states. So you can go out there and check maybe if you are interested in going back to your home state if you're not from West Virginia. And of course, this is something that you just need to think about if you are thinking of family medicine and the other specialties that they mentioned, that this is to help you because, as we all know, there are some specialties that do not pay as well in salary, and this is for you to help you to serve in those areas. I do have a little bit of information on the public service loan forgiveness, but I want to open it up for questions for our four representatives. We have plenty of time, and I would suggest that if you have any, please ask them so everybody else can understand more specifically. So,
I will tell you all that there's these fancy little CDs over here. It has mine and Martha's card. There's a third card that has it's the Division of Recruitment Health Professions Recruitment Program. If after you get done with your residency, you're having a problem, you know, you can't really find anything, we actually do a service that will match you up with people in need, with facilities in need. So if you can't find a job, you know, you can give us a call, and we might be able to help you at that point. You send us your resume, we match you up. If you want to go to Martinsburg, we have, at last count, there was 200 positions open throughout West Virginia that are looking for different medical people to come to work for them. We have about 275 people that we're trying to match up with these positions at any point in time. Another program that I never even thought about till just now, and I don't know why it hit me, we also run the J-1 visa waiver program. I'm not sure if any of you all are here with a J-1 visa, but if you are, you know, we can help you with that too. So anybody have any questions? I feel like I'm rambling.
Yeah, I hope you all will give a lot of thought to these programs because this is free money. This is tax money, the tax-free money, and it's money from our taxes that go. The money goes to help the underserved populations. The federally qualified health centers, which is where most of the people who are under National Health Service Corps obligation practice, those sites see all patients regardless of ability to pay. They have a posted notice announcing that there's a discounted fee schedule available based on your income. So this is to help everybody out there. It is free money that you can access if you're willing to apply for it and if you get chosen. And I hope that if you do it, you have some level of altruism, and it's not just for the money. I hope there is a spirit of altruism to help all those people who are so much less fortunate than we are that don't have access to health care. That's the purpose of these programs. What are your questions? Is anybody interested in the money? Good.
Is it possible to stagger your obligations? Like, if you wanted to do the health service corps, but say you already had a loan from the, like, you already had the family medicine scholarship, you wanted to spend a couple years somewhere else and then come satisfy a different obligation, is that doable?
Yes, you can do sequential service obligations. Now, you are eligible to apply for National Health Service Corps loan repayment program on the day following your completion of a commitment of anything else. National Health Service Corps does not allow any concurrent service obligation because it's federal money. Neither does state loan repayment program because it is both state and federal money. It's a 50-50 match there. And, of course, National Health Service Corps is available across the country for those folks who might not be planning to practice in West Virginia. And most every state also has its own state loan repayment program. All 50 states do. So we'll be happy, if you need our help, to put you in touch with folks in any other states that can facilitate the information for you.
Also, the deadline to apply for ours is March 20th, which is less than a month away. We have 3 ESP scholarships and 2 TALEs to give away this year. It's free money. If nobody applies or there's not enough applicants, that money just sits there wasted. So please apply. It doesn't hurt. March 20th. You can combine ours, I think, with most state programs.
RCP. Those 3 can be combined into one obligation.
Those can be,
yes. They can have current overlapping service obligations because they are each 100% state money. The block is if you have federal money involved.
And as Karen mentioned, we've had several people the last few months that check no to the question on the National Health Service Corps application, do you have an existing service obligation, and they happen to have Health Sciences Scholarship Program application. And when that came to light with National Health Service Corps, these people were required to pay back their $50,000 or $60,000 to National Health Service Corps right away.
Can you, at that point, like, start to apply for the National Health Service Corps to begin when you finish your first
year? When you go to the National Health Service Corps to apply, and they usually open theirs every year around the middle of December, the day that you hit submit, you have to be under no obligation. Right. There's the scholar program you can get now for a later obligation, or once you're through residency, you've got all these, you've done all these, you're done, today is my last day, tomorrow you can go and apply for National Health Service Corps. And the state loans, they're generally, every state has them, so it doesn't matter if you want to stay, we want you to stay here in West Virginia. But because we understand that you want to go home, every state has the National Health Service Corps. There's ambassadors in every state. Every state has the state loan repayment program. They have to be the only thing you're doing. You can't overlap them. Most states, now I don't know every state, but I do know the surrounding West Virginia states all have some sort of state program that can be, you know, by itself. You know, it can be with some other thing that you've gotten, some scholarship you've gotten. I know these and the RRCP are in-state. Our state loan is in-state. You have to be in West Virginia to get it. National Health Service Corps, you can go anywhere. The one thing that I do like to tell everybody, the scholarship, the scholar program, these scholarships are great if you need the money now. If you're unattached, if in 3 or 4 years you don't care where you want to go to work, you know, the scholar's wonderful. If you're positive you don't want to go out of West Virginia or out of, if you're from Ohio or whatever, think twice before you do the scholar program, because if you can't find an acceptable site to them, they'll find you one, which means you will be in Alaska or you will be in Arizona at one of the Indian tribes. This guy's laughing at me. I'm not joking, because that's the highest need. They can't get people up there, and that's where they're going to put you if you can't find a job. So, you know, you have to think about what's going to happen, was that 6 years down the road from now? You know, where are you going to be? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for Rudy. There's a scholarship that a lot of us apply for you talking about the medical student loan program?
Yes.
So the medical student loan program is all state dollars as well. So throw it in the basket with Ann's program and my program.
So we already have that loan, but we can't do with the health service corps until that loan.
Is there an obligation with it?
Yes, there is. So you're not. It would not work for National Health Service Corps until you've got the payment.
And this is kind of a question I guess I have. Once, when you have, that's a loan program, and it does have a forgiveness option. Once you start practicing, you have to apply to be forgiven for those funds. If you do not apply to be forgiven for those funds, would you then be eligible for the National Health Service Corps?
If you're not in a situation where you're trying to work to get those loans forgiven, then our interpretation of it is that it functions just as a regular old student loan. So I do not think that it would be a problem there, because there would be no service obligation attached. What would be a problem was if then suddenly you decided, oh, now I'm someplace that does qualify and I do want to get my loans forgiven. At that point, then you'd be running into trouble.
My suggestion in that situation, you've already got the ones, so you are obligated. Before you go to work, before you sign that contract, decide if you want to turn it into a loan. Don't go to work, start your obligation, and then say you want to do a loan, because National Health Service Corps would consider that a default of an obligation. If it's a loan the day you, at the end of your residency, it's considered a loan, you know, that you would have to pay back dollar-wise, it would not be an obligation. If you go to work and decide you want to go apply for National Health Service Corps and then turn it into a loan, they would consider that a default. So decide before you go to work. I mean, that's a suggestion, but I know that National Health Service Corps is really picky about any obligation that you have. And speaking of that, another obligation, I know none of y'all are doing this, so don't take this personally. If you get into default on child support, you're in default for everything. You cannot have National Health Service Corps, you cannot have state loan, and you cannot have recruitment and retention community project. So that's just... Yeah, but... You know, it's something that people don't realize. We have to check when we're doing this. And if you're in default of child support, it's reported to the tax. They take your income tax and everything else. So National Health Service Corps has access to that. So pay your child support if and when it ever happens.
Here's another scenario. As I mentioned, you're in a position now that you could apply to be a National Health Service Corps scholar. And depending upon the deadline and if you got chosen, you could get it for as many as 3 years. But I'll bet everyone in the room has accrued some debt for this first year of medical school. Once you fulfilled your scholar obligation, if you were funded 3 years as a scholar, that's full tuition waiver and a livable stipend, then you'd probably still have $30,000 or $40,000 of debt. And then at that point, you could apply for the National Health Service Corps Loan Repayment Program. Again, though, the caution is you don't have a lot of choice where you go to work as a National Health Service Corps scholar. Each year, the National Health Service Corps announces the minimum HPSA score for the scholar placement sites. And it fluctuates, but it's usually around 15 or 16. 16 right now. It may mean that you don't get to work in the state of choice, and it may mean that the only opportunities are in a very rural area. Rural isn't always a high-scoring HPSA, but it sometimes is, or in a prison or an Indian reservation. And I have a child your age who is a Marshall graduate student, as a matter of fact. And if you were my child, and I would say I would wait and apply for the loan repayment program because I would want the choice of where I got to go. I would know where I was working before I applied for loan repayment. For loan repayment with National Health Service Corps, you have to either be employed at the site or have a signed employment agreement with a start date within 60 days of hitting the submit button for National Health Service Corps. Yes.
That is a very good question. If I get maybe your name and your contact information, I'm going to have to dig for that answer. Sorry.
Do you have a question?
Oh, yes. I was just wondering about the National Basic Loan Repayment Program. I was wondering what percentage of applicants generally get that loan or the repayment for that.
That's a great question, and that's a hard question to answer, too. These past two cycles, not the one we're in currently, we had a bonanza with ARRA money and the Affordable Health Care Act money. We had hundreds of millions of dollars each cycle extra. And so the National Health Service Corps waived the HPSA score as the initial decision factor. And it began in 1978, and from the beginning, the reason HPSAs were developed was to have an objective way to award National Health Service Corps loan repayment money. So they waived the HPSA score. It was first come, first serve, and some sites had HPSA scores of zero. And never in a million years would anybody have ever had a chance to get National Health Service Corps loan repayment until those last two cycles with all the bonus money. So people right and left got National Health Service Corps loan repayment. Once you're in the National Health Service Corps system, the ideology is to continue to assist you even if you got in at a site with a HPSA score of zero during the bonus money years. So you're really in a good situation if you're in that. This year, we're back to the base funding. So last 2 years, if you got it in by the deadline or within a couple months before the deadline, then you were 100% sure just about if everything was correct and you met criteria to get funded. Now I would say you probably have a 30 or 40% chance of getting funded. It's hard to say because it depends on the number of applications. And remember that just because you and your site meet eligibility criteria is never a guarantee that you will get funded. And if you go for a job interview and the clinic administrator or the HR person says, oh, I guarantee you'll get National Health Service Corps, don't believe it. Call me and then I'll straighten out that administrator because they don't review your applications. I don't review your applications. It's up to National Health Service Corps to make that decision. So please, we've got several unhappy people in the state who were promised by their site administrator that they would get chosen for a loan repayment award, and they didn't get it. But I would say you would have at least a 30 or 40% chance. And I would say, you know, if you truly are interested in this, think about doing some things that really show where your heart is, your altruism. Do some volunteer service projects. Do things to make National Health Service Corps aware. Read the National Health Service Corps mission on the website about serving the underserved populations. And think about that. And that will help you with your application. Yes, sir. Well, as a scholar, the reason the HPSA score fluctuates is because with each July 1st placement cycle beginning, there need to be at least three openings for each new scholar going into job service. So once you're placed there, as long as the site stays in business and, you know, it fulfills its requirements and you fulfill your requirements, they're not going to make you move. Now, if the site were to close, then you would have to relocate to another National Health Service Corps site with at least as high a HPSA score as the cycle required. Does that, yeah.
And both the National Health Service Corps and mine, I'm sure theirs too, if you get this money and the site closes, whatever, each one of us, and I know National Health Service Corps, they will work with you to get you moved so you don't go into default. You know, that it might take 2 months and they'll extend your contract 2 months, but they will help you to keep you out of, they don't, none of us and them do not want you to go into default. It affects you for years and years and years. It's not like bankruptcy is gone in 7 years. This is with you for life. So you don't want to default on anything. So, and they will work with you, you know, if something happens. Just help Debbie get a doc in there that wanted to come that was under obligation to another facility. We worked it out, and she got her doc transferred over there for the rest of his obligation. So, you know, it's possible. If you're really unhappy with your site, you can talk to them and they can work something out. It has to be agreed with all parties for you just to move. You can't just say, I don't want to work for Debbie anymore. I want to go over here and work. You can't just up and move. You have to get approval before. You have to have everything signed off before your start date with the new site. So,
we've seen National Health Service Corps be flexible, you know, certainly with complicated pregnancies where the female physician has to be in bed for the last 6 months of her pregnancy or something, you know. So they extend the service that amount of time. But you don't ever want to go into any of these obligations capriciously because, as Karen said, the penalty for default with National Health Service Corps would break the bank. It can be several hundred thousand dollars if you don't fulfill the service obligation. The penalty is enormous.
That includes the amount you originally got, interest from day one. In some instances, there's a dollar amount per month you of unobligated service, which could mean $60,000 plus 10% interest, plus $12,000 for $1,000 a month for the 12 months you didn't serve. That's a lot of money, and it's not a payback over the next 10 years. It's 30 days or 60 days to pay that money back. You know, so don't just up and move if you have any obligation, including theirs. You know, call them and say, hey, I'm very unhappy. I need to get out of here. What can I do? Where can I go to not go into default? Anybody else?
Thanks, ladies. I know some of that sounds a little scary, but I think the point is that please make sure that before you make an obligation, you know exactly what the conditions are. But it is, you know what, well, you probably don't know right now, but eventually you'll know what you want to do. And if you are willing to serve in an underserved area, that's what your dream is, or that's what you want to do, then these are programs to help you with that. So,
call us, email us, you know, you don't wait till 2 days before you graduate. You know, we'll start helping you now, you know, answer your questions, give you stuff to think of, as if you don't have enough to think about already.
I just read something yesterday that talked about that there's 20% of Americans that live in underserved areas, and that the National Health Service Corps is is growing as far as physicians being placed. And I think it said it's tripled from 2008 to 2011, 3,600 physicians to more than 10,000. And that the underserved areas include Venice Beach and West Hollywood. So those of you that don't want to serve, as you say, in those other areas you mentioned, maybe you could think about Hollywood. But anyway, that's just, it's... Right. So it's not just your rural West Virginia or some of those other places that some of you do not seek to live and serve. But these are options for you. And now that you're your first 2 years thinking about things, it's good to know these things. So I appreciate and thank every one of you for driving in and presenting today. We have a few more minutes, and still we can talk about questions, but I did want to mention another forgiveness program. As you know, the Public Service Loan Federal Forgiveness Program, which I might have touched base on at some other session, but this program, really, there's the only obligation is that once you graduate, you make 120 on-time payments on your federal student loan program. And then after that, if you've worked at a public service entity for those 10 years, then the remaining of your loan will be forgiven. And that's the obligation. There's the only thing, you have to pay back your loans if you don't work in public service. But it's a good program, and you'll hear more about that in the next few years. And anytime you want any more information, I have that information in my office. Before you leave, make sure that you did sign in, because we have the sign-in sheets over at the table. Please complete your evaluation. And, oh, I have one other question. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, those that have the meeting at 3 o'clock schedule, please hang out. I was supposed to announce that. Anyway, the handouts we have, the HISSP, the Health Science Scholarship Program, there's a CD of all the health service information. There's a CD there in a box. The applications for the family of a Family Medicine Foundation. So if you're interested, please grab that information, and the representatives will stick around for you. Thank you so much for your attention.